Praise God. Our reading this morning from the book of John, chapter 20, 1 to 18. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have led him.' Peter therefore went out and other disciple, and we are going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have led him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have led him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which to say, 'Teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, your Father, and to my God, your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'"
As the reading was going on, I was kind of visualizing the whole thing in my mind, what it was and how it felt, especially to disciples and to Mary on that day. And I would like us to kind of think about today, and I will single out three symbols that I would like us to kind of reflect on this day, the day that changed the world. There's a group in the U.S. Called LifeWay Research Group. They came up with this statistics that Easter is the Sunday with the highest church attendance worldwide, even ahead of Christmas. That's by LifeWay Research Group. I don't know if you've heard anything along that lines, but yeah, they said that, and they came up with that statistics. But for me, Easter is the main event of the church that really prepared us to proclaim Christ to the world. It's the day that changed the world. The resurrection of Christ can also change us. It could change our lives. So the resurrection of Christ, as we all know, proclaimed victory over sin and gave believers the hope of eternal life. And Jesus suffered for our sake. He bore our sins, but he was raised to life to reveal this hope, the hope of everlasting life, to anyone who trusts in him. So I would like to talk to us on reflecting on the cross, the empty tomb, and the folded napkin, as we saw when we were reading. The cross reminds us of forgiveness. But first of all, whenever I think about the cross as a child of God, as a Christian, I think about my own personal commitment, my own sacrifice, if you like, to what Jesus had done for me. I like to think about the power that I have received as a child of God. I like to think about forgiveness whenever I think about the cross. When we read this event from the Gospel of Mark, we come to a point when Jesus was talking to Mary after revealing himself to her and said to her, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter that I am alive." And there was a day I read those words and I asked myself, why singling out Peter? But again, like I said, the cross reminds me of the forgiveness that I have received. And again, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ had given as a gift to Peter. And you remember Peter denied him, and he fumbled, I would say. And I think after all those things had happened, people began to kind of lose their trust and respect for Peter. Maybe, just maybe, they were thinking that Peter is no more the leader that they know. I need to go back again to the. But when I read that command from Jesus to go and tell the disciples and Peter, I think about the forgiveness that Jesus wants to proclaim. Well, in all that has happened, I have forgiven him. I believe Jesus was saying by singling out Peter. And while I was in Sunday school in those days, I always asked myself, what is the difference between Peter and Judas? They all messed up, right? They all made mistakes. They both made mistakes. But Judas did not repent. He did not have godly sorrow. But Peter, when he came to himself, he wept. He realized his sins and he asked for forgiveness. And Jesus told him, I have prayed for you. Even though Satan has asked to sift you like a wheat, I have prayed for you. And when you bounce back, tend my sheep. Look after my flock. And so the forgiveness that Jesus gave to Peter, I think, was what he was trying to single out by saying, go and tell my disciples. And Peter, he still belongs. And Peter, I still love him. And Peter, I have forgiven him. Go and tell my disciples and the one that I have forgiven. And indeed, I have forgiven all of you. So the cross is an iconic symbol of triumph and victory. And we all believe and celebrate the victory that Jesus gave to us. Victory over death. Victory over evil. Victory over sin. Death could not hold him. And so death cannot hold us. I know you remember the saying that if you are born once, you will die twice. And if you are born twice, you will die once. Because death cannot, it's not as powerful as whatever that can hold us. And furthermore, the crucifixion of Christ, I know, is not the end. But indeed, he gave the portal to the resurrection, which is the beginning. And that's why I think about that passage that says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. It is the power of God. And the cross is the symbol of the early church when Jesus Christ gave himself and he was crucified and during the early church, and as they were growing, multiplying, they were afraid to be identified with the cross until, as we are told, during the 4th century when Emperor Constantine became a believer, when he converted. And so Christianity became now the official religion. And so now they were now bold to be associated with the cross as a symbol of the Christ. But before then, it would spell death for them. It could, you know, they could be mocked, you know, when they identified themselves with the cross. But the cross became now a public sign that someone became a believer. The cross, our commitment, the cross, the power of the gospel, the cross, what Jesus did for us. Now the tomb, I don't know why it keeps going back. I don't know. Well, keeps going back. But think about these three symbols, the cross, the tomb, and the folded napkin. The tomb reminds us that we will all die, right? Death is a certain thing. That we will all come to that point that we will die. Jesus died for us. But the empty tomb, you know, signifies the fact that he was no more there, and he is no more there, and he is alive. Signifies redemption and hope and eternal life. And you remember, as I read to us, what Jesus told Martha. I know what you have, you know, gone through, what you are going through, but I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, anyone who believes in me, though they may die, they shall live. I always ponder upon what the apostle said in Philippians chapter 3. You know, when you read from verse 7, he said, "But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is faith in Christ." The righteousness which is from God. And in verse 10, he says, in Philippians 3, in verse 10, he said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." And he wished not just being identified with the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his suffering. So each time I look at the cross, I remember my commitments to the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Each time I look at the empty tomb, I remember the power of his resurrection, what he had done for me. That even though I go through things as a normal human being, but I have the power in me as a child of God, the power of his resurrection. And then when I was reading about the folded napkin, I remember a Jewish tradition of the day, of that day, of the master and the servant. Servants prepare the table for their masters, set the table for them, you know, gives them everything they need, prepares their meal. And while the master is busy eating his meal, the servant will disappear out of sight and wait. That's important. Wait until when the master will be done eating. The master will not tell him or her, but it's left on the servant to determine the time that the master is done eating. But he will wait out of sight. But one thing he or she always looks out for is the napkin. And during that day, the master will, you know, do his thing. And if he suddenly realized he would go somewhere, he would do something, he would kind of give a clue to the servant and neatly fold a napkin and leave it on the table. Even if it takes 1 hour, one day, however long as the napkin remains folded, the servant will know he's coming back. He's not done yet. He's not finished eating. But when the master must have enjoyed himself and, you know, he's satisfied, he wraps up the napkin and tossed it by the side. And that will be a clue to the servant that he's finished. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, he neatly, carefully folded the napkin and laid it by the side. And he gave a clue to his disciples. I'm not finished. I'm coming back. I have an unfinished business. I'm coming back for you. But had he folded and, you know, wadded up and squeezed the napkin, it would have been doomed for us. That would have meant, I'm finished. I'm done. You won't see me again. But he left a clue to us. And as believers, the folded napkin always reminds us, I'm coming back. I'm still alive. I'm not dead. Though I have gone to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back to take you with me. I'm not done yet. What I've started doing, I'm not done. I'm coming back. The food, as it were, I'm enjoying with you. The fellowship I'm enjoying with you. It's not over yet. I'm coming back. What you are about to experience will be even be greater. I'm coming back. And so, as servants of the Most High, followers of Jesus, let the folded napkin remind us always that he is coming back. He's not done yet. Whatever we go through, he's coming back. Death could not hold him. He's coming back. And he's alive.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, say it with me, he's alive.
He's
alive. He's coming back. He promised he will do it. He has promised he will never fail. As the old songs say, he has promised he will never fail. I will follow him. He has promised he will never fail. His faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. And so let's reflect on Easter, even as we go about our business and with the rest of the day, that the cross means that we will identify in the sufferings of Christ, right? And the tomb, ordinarily reminds us that one day we will leave this realm, this phase, but the empty tomb reminds us that death could not hold him, and we have the power of his resurrection. And then he gave us a clue that he is not done yet. He's coming back. Let us pray. Death could not hold you, Lord Jesus. You are alive and you live forever. Thank you, Lord, for you are coming back again. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your resurrection, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship that we share in your suffering. Above all, Lord, help us to be conformed day by day to the image of Christ. We thank you, O Lord, for the victory that you have given us. Victory over death, victory over the devil, victory over sin, victory over evil. Victory, victory, victory. Lord, help us to live a life of victory. We pray, O gracious Lord, that we will live the resurrected life. That doesn't mean we will not go through issues. That doesn't mean we will not go pass through, struggles and things. But it means that those things will not have their day. That we will always be reminded that Jesus is alive. That we have a sure hope that Jesus is alive. And that the life we live now is not our own life, but Christ living in us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of new life. Lord, we thank you that you have done all this for us and that you have gone ahead. Thank you, O Lord, because we believe you, that you are coming back again and that you are alive. And that the fellowship that began when you walked this earth will continuously be with us, that we will fellowship with you. And that we will be changed from glory to glory. And that we will look like you. Lord, we pray for ourselves. And we pray, O Lord, for all our neighbors and our well-wishers, O Lord. And especially, as Judy had prayed earlier in the day, for those who perhaps this season reminds them of an ugly event, of a sad event. We pray that you will be with us, oh Lord, and that your Holy Spirit will rule in our lives. We pray, oh gracious Lord, for those who are passing through things in their lives now, even now as we speak, those who are housebound, those who might be in some care homes, Lord, those in hospital, those in prison. We pray, Lord, that you will be with them. You will be with all of us. Those who are asking, Lord, for a breakthrough one way or the other, we pray that the resurrection power will open up the heavens for us all. We pray, oh gracious Lord, that it will be according to your word unto us. And for the rest of the day, oh Lord, we believe that you will continue to be with us and lead us, direct us. Lord, may we just be the passengers, that you will be the driver of our lives for today and always. We give you praise, Lord, for you've always answered us. And even now, we believe that it is done according to our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Amen.